It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. Hello, hello, Rachel and Swiggies.
Hello, hello.
And Taylor Swift, whoever might be tuning into this episode, hello to you. Welcome to episode 39 of our podcast.
13 times 3 is 39, just so you know.
Wow. I actually was going to question that. Like, I don't think that's right, but you're very accurate on your maths there.
I did my maths. I did my girl maths, and I got us there.
I feel like I have an echo in my voice. Is that coming through on your end, or is that just in my brain?
I mean, it just sounds profesh.
Okay, here's what you need to know. Speaking of my brain is mush right now because I stayed up far too late last night. If you know, you know. This is the most exciting thing I could have asked for the 1989 Taylor's Version rollout. Last night was the whole vault track release game that she's been doing for her Taylor's Versions. She did it for Fearless Taylor's Version. She did it for Red Taylor's Version. But those were like on Instagram specifically. You just watched a video and you had to jumble.
Yes.
And so that was just its own thing. She actually didn't do this for Speak Now Taylor's Version, I think, because she was doing lots of prep for this 1989 Taylor's Version vault track release. So here's what happened. Basically, Taylor Swift took over all of Google. And the
Taylor Swift takes over Google, I mean, the woman could be president. Come on.
Only Taylor Swift can take over Google. Am I right?
Exactly. Okay. Yes, you are correct.
Now, I believe you were asleep during this. Apparently, it started at 11 a.m. yesterday, but I had no idea this was happening.
No, I was not asleep. Okay. You had no idea. See, I was going to text you, Sam. I knew immediately.
I had no idea
but
this was happening.
I was going to text you, but I knew we were podcasting today, and I was like, wouldn't it be amazing if I experienced something that Sam didn't? And then I was like, no, Sam's probably not knows about it, and he's not saying anything because he wants us to have a live reaction. So I just stayed silent.
Oh, man, you're evil almost.
But
I was so excited to talk with you about it. It was blowing my mind.
But it didn't work for most people until last night. So yeah. You weren't too far behind.
Okay, gotcha.
I was on my way to bed, and then I got a text from my other Swifty friends. They were like, it's working for me now. So I went in, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's working for me now. I wanted to go to bed early. Now I have to stay awake.
Did you stay awake and complete all of the puzzles, Rachel?
I got to 39.
Yeah, pretty good.
Which is the number of this episode.
39, perfect.
And I could not keep my eyeballs open. I was like, I get the gist. It doesn't really matter. Like, I don't have to do it in order to unlock something for myself. Like, the rest of the young Swifties will carry this for me.
I guess that was me. I was a young Swiftie. I feel honored to be in that category. So here's what happened, everybody. If you're not in the know, so that we have five vault tracks coming out on Taylor's 1989 Taylor's Version, and this was Taylor's way of revealing the title of these tracks. And in order to do that, we all collectively had to play a game on the internet. We had to solve these puzzles. All of us collectively, not just Swifties, but like, if you were on Google last night and you were Googling anything a part of this game, you are now in the game, which is hilarious to me that non-Swifties probably came across this game last night unknowingly. But basically, it started with you Googled Taylor Swift, and when you Googled Taylor Swift, this little vault in the corner of your computer screen popped up, and when you clicked on that, it jumbled up some words, and you had to figure out what that jumbled up word was. When you figured out that jumbled up word, you then Googled that word, and then another vault would pop up, and then another puzzle would pop up, etc., etc. And there was this live clock or tracker where you could see everybody in the world was currently playing this, and when anybody solved one of the puzzles, the number went up, and we had to get to 33 million solved puzzles, at which point Taylor was going to fully release the names of the tracks of the vault tracks. Does that make sense? I mean,
it makes so much sense to anyone, right?
It's bizarre. Like, literally, you could just Google the word. Let's say you wanted to know your cancer sign. Or let's say you wanted to know your sun sign, your astrological sign. So you Googled the word Sagittarius, which was one of the puzzles.
And oh, I didn't get that one.
Okay, Sagittarius is one of them, spoiler alert. Or Wednesday, or Tokyo.
Aquamarine green.
Yes, if you Googled any of those things, your whole Google system was now a part of this game. So my favorite one, I don't know if you got to this one yet, the hint, and there was a hint for every single one. Sometimes it was vague, sometimes it was obvious. Mm-hmm. The hint for this one was bad blood.
Bad you blood. I knew this would be yours. I did. This was my favorite.
It's the best one. And the clue that you had to unscramble was she wasn't doing anything. Which, of course, is like the famous incident that happened at the Eras tour weeks ago during the Bad Blood, when she was yelling at the security guard, she wasn't doing anything. What I loved is that she was making fun of herself in a lot of these. Mm-hmm. There was another clue that said coffee.
Yes.
And the result was
long list of ex-lovers. Yeah.
Which is like the whole Starbucks lovers miss her lyric thing.
Yeah. Her biggest fear, sea urchins. Did you know that?
Oh, yes. I did know that. Okay. She did an interview with Ellen where she freaks out over the thought of sea urchins. And it's a funny little thing. It was unbelievable. I stayed up far too late. I did end up going to bed before I finished. But I woke up to learning that everybody finished the game, and we have four of the five.
Yeah, we got four. Sam.
Okay.
You know what that means?
That the fifth one is Style featuring Harry Styles. That's what everyone is saying on the internet.
It's happening. It's happening. I still don't believe
that's going to happen. No, but here's what happened in the ad, in her post, letting you know that this game was about to happen. We get another jumbled up puzzle, and it spells out either the word lust or the word slut.
With an exclamation point.
With an exclamation mark. But there's also quotation marks. Everybody's thinking that the song title is called Lust! Exclamation mark. But I think it's slut! Exclamation mark in quotation marks because it's being called, like, it's the word in quotation marks is the title of the song, quotation marks, slut, exclamation mark. Yeah. It's if that is actually it's a pretty extreme title.
Wow. For
but
real.
I'm assuming that we will understand why. So that's my thought.
My other theory was that, like, she names the title, or there's a song about the, like, what slut could mean.
Mm.
But, like, she never says the word slut.
Okay.
But, like, you know what she means. Like, that's what – I mean, because she was slut-shamed for during that exact period. So it's, like, very
– listeners, you can't see, but Rachel is doing air quotes right now.
Right.
Little bunny hoppers.
Little bunny foo-foo. Yes, that's right.
Okay, so that is the biggest situation that we need to talk about.
Wordle meets Taylor Swift is seriously, like, my new favorite thing.
Okay, and some of them were – hard, very challenging.
Yeah, I was wondering did they get harder? Like, were they in a particular order?
I don't think so. I think it was totally random.
Randomized, right? Okay.
Yeah, but it was so much fun, and it's a brilliant marketing tool for everybody to be involved in this thing. Like, again, Speak Now, Taylor's version didn't really have much marketing or publicity over it, but 1989 Taylor's version, you better believe, is going to go big, and it has.
I think what I loved about it was, like, none of it was necessary. Like, she's going to release the songs, and the song titles, to be honest, mean nothing. Like, they're just words, right?
It's just fun.
And it was just a collective joy and an activity. Like, it was like, Yeah. I think people sometimes like talk about how Taylor Swift is actually kind of like a nerd, like a gay, like she could just be so nerdy in her or like in her like thespian sort of way. Mm-hmm. And this was just accurate. This is just like, yeah, let's just have some fun. I love that. I love collective joy. It's like one of my biggest things. So
I'm going to transition a little bit, but yes. One thing I was thinking about was, what is Taylor Swift doing in this moment, knowing that all of us in the world are collectively playing this game? Like, do you think she's just, like, sitting on her couch, like, yeah. giggling?
I don't know.
But apparently, she was doing something else last night, Rachel. I'm going to go TMZ on us, right?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is live.
She was photographed in New York City last night hanging out with Sophie Turner, who...
Okay.
Just recently, like a week ago, divorced her husband, Joe Jonas. Taylor and Sophie.
I didn't know that.
We're hanging out together.
Sophie.
Immediately after she breaks up with Joe Jonas. Oh, and of course, we know Taylor Swift broke up with Joe Jonas years ago and has written a lot of intense songs about him.
I love this so much.
And they were photographed together last night hanging out. And I.
This is so great.
I am eating this. Up. Mm-hmm. I'm mm-hmm. very supportive of that friendship.
Give me a spoon. I'm diving in. This is great.
Give me a knife. I'm gonna cut that steak.
Cut.
Yeah, I might just cut that, actually.
Nope. You might.
Oh my gosh. Rachel,
okay, so that's fun.
I've been talking a lot. That's super fun. You know there's another thing we need to talk about. I'm gonna let you lead us there. You know.
All right.
You know what I want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, before we had this, like, Tay-Wordle situation.
We already had things to discuss, yes.
I was really excited to talk about the VMAs with you. And honestly, I mean, we could talk about the VMAs and, like, oh, Taylor cleaned the floor. Like, she went home with so many. And I'm sure you know the number of how many awards.
I think 9. She was nominated for 11.
Okay.
She won 9 freaking awards. I think it's a record in VMA history, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so she won these awards. That's great. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how Taylor Swift is basically me when she's having a good time.
I
just want to say that.
You wish you were
no,
the same.
No, 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 Sam. I think anyone who knew me, who knows me, and you know me, just, I like... When I'm at a party, I just like, I want to sing, I want to dance, I want to point my fingers. She was doing all of this, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I want to get delighted by a cocktail that's handed to me and go, oh, and what is it? Like, we have so much footage of just the joy mm-hmm. that Taylor Swift had on the VMAs. And honestly, I was just so happy for the girl.
Yes.
Like, she's just... You could tell she was relaxed. She was like, tonight's about fun. Like, whatever, I might get some awards, but I want to have fun. I want to, like, dance with my friends. I want to take silly videos. I want to, like, celebrate. And, OMG, I want to flip my freak out about NSYNC.
We have been hinting at an NSYNC. I don't know why I say we have been. The internet has been hinting at an NSYNC reunion.
Yeah, we haven't talked about it.
No, I did talk about this a few episodes ago. That NSYNC is like somewhat relevant. Now, Rachel, if you remember, I was very into NSYNC in the late 90s.
Yes, you were.
I had every CD of theirs. I never did get their one in that came out in 2001, but
including their holiday special.
Oh my God, their Christmas album is the best. It's a tradition for me every day after Thanksgiving. I must listen to it. And yeah, call me a dork. It's a boy band, but I freaking loved NSYNC. And
no one's calling you a dork right now, okay?
No, because NSYNC
is cool and hip and relevant.
I mean, those are our opinions about that. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm not sure what a Gen Zer would think. But basically, NSYNC showed up for the very first award presentation. Nobody was expecting it. Taylor freaked out, as did all of us.
Oh my gosh, then, she was so cute.
And she ended up winning that award, and they gave the award to her. They also gave her friendship bracelets. And
the friendship bracelet was, I mean, I like had chills watching this because it was like worlds colliding. Like NSYNC is like our past world, right? Mm. Like our actual when we were young. Like I loved NSYNC as well. But I was in college by the time they really like came.
You were definitely in high school because this was like 97, 98, 99.
Okay, but I have memories of learning bye in college. Okay. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the dances. Sure. So yes, you're right. High school, college, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was like that world. And then like Taylor Swift is like my now world. I don't have like some people, you and I talk about this. Like we don't have like a past history of Taylor Swift. So, like no. She's our now world. Mm-hmm. And the past world and the now world were colliding together in like this really cute, adorable way. And yeah. I just loved it so much.
Our brains didn't know how to compute the two. We're getting an NSYNC something of a reunion. I guess they have a song coming out for a new movie. And
well, I kind of assumed we all knew that because I knew that the new Trolls movie was coming out, and I knew it was about some like long lost brother coming back, and they do a boy band. So yeah. I knew that Justin Timberlake was. Like is in that movie. So like it makes sense that we would have a resurgence.
Yeah.
So maybe I just assumed we already knew that. So I wasn't as shocked when this new song like was announced.
No, but the shock of just seeing them come out on stage together.
Yeah.
The VMAs always like does like promo like you're going to get Olivia Rodrigo and Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift, but they didn't say anything about NSYNC. It was a total surprise for everybody.
Yeah.
So at the VMAs, the footage we got from that, Taylor dancing, Taylor drunk Taylor, for sure, you could tell. But she was just having the best time. The cameras were glued to her the entire time. Yeah, so we
they
just
were
have,
obsessed. They were as obsessed with her as we were.
Absolutely. And, it was just such a fun, random Tuesday night. A lot has happened in this last week, Rachel.
Oh,
and by the time this episode posts, who knows what else will have happened.
Right?
But that's the tea that I need to catch up on. So, without further ado,
perhaps
Rachel.
You know what? Is this the time we transitioned into some new shit? I mean.
Absolutely.
I think we do that. Would you like me to go first? What would you?
Go for it. Are you doing good and on some new shit this week, Rach?
I guess this feels like a little bit like a cop-out, but I really wanted to sneak this in, and I think I'm going to get it in just towards the end of September. I believe this episode airs on September 29th. Is that correct, Sam?
Seems accurate. Mm-hmm.
All right. The reason I wanted to sneak this in at the end of September is I only just learned that Taylor Swift has a cover of Earth, Wind, and Fire's Do You Remember?
Really?
You didn't know this!
Okay. Are you sure it's not AI?
No, I swear. I swear. It's true. And here's why we know. The reason we know it's Taylor Swift is she changes the lyric. The 21st day of September is actually the 28th day of September. And this is how Swifties learned what Joe and Taylor's anniversary was.
Joe, which Joe? Alwyn?
Joe Alwyn.
Okay.
Yeah. This is she's saying this in her Joe Alwyn era. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And it's a really, really great cover. It's so good.
Do you remember the 28th night of September? Love was changing the minds of pretenders while chasing the clouds away. Our hearts were ringing.
That's a fantastic September song, obvi. But It's just a really beautiful cover of it, and I'm playing it on repeat because I'm always obsessed with that song in September.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for enlightening me about another Taylor Swift song that I've never heard. And
it's like on this weird track on Spotify. I think you can only find it on Spotify, and it's like like there was like something else that she recorded. I don't remember where she recorded it. I should have done my research. I didn't quite understand it, but it's just good. It's a good listen. And it's a great thing to, like, just close out your September with a little bit of Taylor Swift.
I thought you were going to choose Green Day, Wake Me Up When September Ends, which, go ahead.
That's a good song. Yeah.
Love that for us. Okay, my new shit is Green Day, Wake Me Up When September Ends. never mind, I changed my mind.
Now I need to go listen to Green Day. Shoot. We're just like throwing all the way back to high school today.
Okay, speaking of going all the way back, my new shit is actually...
Ooh, yes, take me back.
NSYNC. I couldn't help it.
Oh, fun.
So it was so fun listening to... So they only have like four studio albums. One of them is the Christmas album, which I know every word and every note because I've listened to that one so much. The other album is No Strings Attached, which has... famously Bye 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 on it, and It's Gonna Be Me. But then there's their original album, which has Tearing Up My Heart When I'm With
Now
You.
I'm with you.
My new shit is technically the album Celebrity, which I somehow never listened to. I didn't have that CD. It came out in 2001, so I was 12, and I think I was sort of growing out of that phase. So I never bought the CD. I never really listened to it. So I listened to the album Celebrity for the first time, and it sucks. It was like...
Wait, your new shit is an album that sucks.
Okay, my new shit in general is NSYNC, but the specific shit that was new to me, I thought totally sucked. Chime in here, that's anybody really listening, funny. If you have a defense on this, please, I want to hear your argument. But the production and the lyrics of all the songs were just, like, not great. I loved going back and listening to the old NSYNC stuff. And I was driving to the airport last week at, like, 3:30 in the morning. So I needed something to, like, keep me awake for this drive to the airport. It's a 2-hour drive in the dark. So I listened to NSYNC back. It was a blast. And,
I love this.
Yeah.
I need to bust this out. This is excellent.
I'm not sure which song I'm going to include as a sound clip for this part. There's a song. Actually, maybe I'm going to do the song Makes Me Ill.
I was hanging with the fellas. Saw you with your new boyfriend and made me jealous. I was hoping that I'd never see you with him. But it's all good because I'm glad that I met him.
Or the song... Just Got Paid, which is about like, just got paid Friday night, party's hopping, feeling right, booty shaking on the floor, just got paid. It's ridiculous.
Thank God it's Friday night and I just got paid.
I mean, it's not like NSYNC is waiting for their paychecks every Friday, but. There's absolutely absurd songs in NSYNC's discography, but so much fun regardless.
Are we going to get like a full album
this? Like, I hope. I mean, the one thing that is truly worth mentioning is their harmonies are beautiful. Like their voices are phenomenal. Their harmonies are incredible. They do several songs a cappella on the recordings and they're like, they give you goosebumps. I'm hoping that their voices still sound equally as great, that they can still harmonize the way they did. They could work on their lyrics, but I mean, I don't know. We will see what happens. I guess I'll have to go see the Trolls movie now. Okay, we got to move on.
We got to move on.
This episode is fun so far. All right.
Isn't it?
Okay, yeah. So that leads us into announcing the track that we are doing this week. Rachel, you chose it. What are we doing? Fill us in.
We are getting into our back into our rep era, and we are going to represent our first track five.
Wow. It took us 39 episodes to get into a track five.
I know. I think we're a little bit like track fives feel like really important. And
yes. Yes.
And this one, I am so curious to start discussing. This is... Delicate.
Dive bar on the east side, where you at? Phone lights at my nightstand in the black. Come here, you can meet me in the back.
I have loved this song from first listen, which was in 2021, believe it or not. I mean, maybe I heard it like on the internet or the radio or whatever, without knowing in the background. But my first true listen to this was in 21 when I was really like, getting into rap. And
did you love it right away?
I have had this song has given me goosebumps from the very beginning. So I love it. I love the message. I just watched the video and actually cried and which is
I know it funny. Really it really is like such a sweet video. It like
yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up. I did want to talk about the music video. Let's just talk about this now.
Let's just talk about it now, because I didn't know where to put it.
I don't either. So the music video to me doesn't tell the same story at all that the song tells. It's just the song Delicate is like the backdrop for Taylor telling a story about almost like how she wishes she could not be. She's like annoyed with her celebrity, essentially, in the music video. Yeah. And then she has this like magical note. What do we know what that piece of paper is in that music video? Do you know what I'm talking about? She like gets handed at the beginning a piece of paper, and that's when everything changes, when she like
so goes what I understood world. Was like the piece of paper was kind of like the text message that she received from him. Like I get the impression that like the text message was her like, or the invitation, like, do you want to meet me? And that's what the note was, just like making it a little bit more artsy than a phone.
Okay, yeah.
And the whole video was how, like, if she could escape into this relationship, like, if she could get into it, then the drama that follows her as a celebrity would go away.
Okay, yeah, that makes
and
so much sense.
She could be herself. And, like, the video is her, essentially just her, dancing around like a goofball.
So awkward.
And, like, terrible dancing, which is why I relate to her so much. Like, just free-flowing, goofy dancing. And like, in the rain. Like, there's just so much release in the video. And I realized at the end of it, like, I was crying with relief for her.
Mm. Yeah.
And I guess the connection I make to the song is that, like, the song is the beginning of, like, could this be what I want it to be? Like, could this be the release? And it's like the delicate line between.
Okay. Yeah.
The two.
That's a good analysis. I hadn't thought about it quite so deeply as you. Leave it to you.
Leave it to me to do some deep thoughts.
Okay, well, let's get into our cocktails, Rachel, because I'm super excited to drink mine this week.
Good. I'm really curious because I struggled and I almost texted you, like, help me. So why don't you go first?
Okay. So I'm calling mine the Dive Bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
great.
We get that lyric in the song, and we'll talk about that. But there's some great significance to her singing Dive Bar. So I wanted to make a drink that I think Taylor Swift would order at a dive bar. We know that Taylor Swift's go-to drink order is a vodka Diet Coke. No, I did not make a vodka Diet Coke, Rachel, because I got to be creative with this. I basically made a deconstructed Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola! Ooh!
And I did that by taking clear whiskey, which resembles vodka, and I infused it with orange peel, lemon peel, and cinnamon sticks. I had to, like, of course, the Coca-Cola recipe is kept secret. But I searched the internet for the flavors that you can get from a Coca-Cola, from cola in general. And a lot of it is citrus peel, cinnamon, spices, and vanilla. So I infused this clear whiskey with lemon peel, orange peel, and cinnamon sticks. So that's the spirit that's in here, is that infused whiskey. But then to the cocktail, I added simple syrup because it's going to need to be sweet if it's a Coke, and a little bit of lemon juice, some vanilla extract, and then a dash or two of nutmeg and coriander.
Oh my gosh. This sounds amazing.
Okay, honestly, it is surprisingly so similar to how a Coke would taste.
Really?
And then I added some club soda so that it's fizzy.
Yeah, like, yes, like, bubbly. Yeah.
So I'm calling this the Dive Bar, and not only does it taste similar to a Coke, it's absolutely delicious, too. And I can't wait to swig it. Here I go.
Okay, I'm really obsessed with this because, like, I love the contrast that, like, a cocktail called a Dive Bar would actually go to that length of creating a Coke,
yeah.
right? Like, that's like my favorite thing when dive bars or dive restaurants or whatever, like, actually do super fancy food or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's accessible. This is fun. I can't wait to make that. That I'm like really obsessed with that.
I'll link the recipe on the show notes that don't exist.
Damn show notes. Who's responsible for those effing
Does
show notes?
Does anyone
want
to volunteer to write our
that
show notes?
That girl needs to be fired. What is going on with her?
It is an unpaid internship. But we would love for you to compile our show notes where we can include our recipes. But I'll put it on the Instagram.
I got one job. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Okay, Rachel, your turn.
My life
what
is
are
turning
you,
around next
what are you
week.
Swigging for Delicate this week?
I am swigging the damn never seen that color blue.
Yes.
Okay.
That is a color of blue I've never seen before.
Exactly. Damn. All right. I think this is maybe my second or third cocktail that I've actually included blue curacao.
Yeah.
And I'm a little ashamed and also not ashamed because I bought it thinking that I would never have any fun drinks because, I mean, it's dyed. Okay, folks, it is not true blue. Like, this is a fake. This is a damn never seen that color blue because it is not a true blue, okay?
It's real artificial.
But it's really beautiful, okay? Yeah. And so, especially when you mix it into a sidecar. I was really wanting to think about, like, you can make me a drink. Like, what cocktail would Joe Alwyn make for Taylor Swift?
Okay, I'm intrigued because I had the same thought. Like, what would he make her? And I didn't
so
think he was going to make her a vodka Diet Coke. But
no, I honestly, like, the guy is a mystery, right? Like, I really thought that maybe he'd make her something with bourbon because we've talked about, like, the whiskey. Like, I feel like he introduced her to whiskey.
Yeah.
This is not whiskey. This is cognac. And I think in my mind, like, he's like, tries to be kind of fancy, and he's got, like, he's just a sidecar kind of a guy, and which is kind of funny to me because I feel like he's kind of the sidecar to Taylor's, like, you know, fancy fast motorcycle, but whatever. I wanted a delicate cocktail. I wanted something that actually, like, I feel like is, when I taste it, is really delicate. Sidecar is that for me. There's just something about the perfect combination of the sweetness of the orange liqueur, which is what the blue curacao is, the just the right balance of tang with the lemon juice, and then a cognac, which is rich but not overpowering the way that maybe a bourbon or whiskey would be. It's just kind of luxurious. And when I drink it, it just has this delicate flavor. I always serve it with a sugar rim because you use less sugar than you normally would in a cocktail, and you're kind of seeking that. And I gave it a blueberry garnish just because I wanted to pretend it was actual blue. Something actually blue. We're in our rep era, and so we've got our snake.
The snake cocktail garnish. Back.
So
I hope you took a picture of that because we're.
I did. I got a picture and a video already. Aren't you proud of me?
Great. I'm so proud.
So that's what we're swigging on. I really am not sure if this is the cocktail that Joe would have made her, but let's pretend it is.
I like it. I'd like to think that it is.
Okay. Cheers, Sam.
Cheers. So fun. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Rach. Let's get into breaking down the song Delicate. We're going to do the spirit of the song. We're going to do the musical mixology of the song. And we're going to do the Taylor Swift with a twist, break down all the Delicate lyrics. Because you chose the song Delicate, Rachel, why don't you fill us in on what you think the spirit of the song is?
I will. I kind of already began this discussion, but it's really important to note that this is a track 5. And if our Swiggy listeners are unfamiliar with what that means in the Swift world, Taylor has, like, I don't know if it just, like, fell into her lap or if she was doing this all along, but she is known to choose her 5th song on the album, the track 5, as being the most vulnerable song of this album. And that means different things each album, okay? And that's
very true. This one
that's
especially.
Why I think it does bring up a really interesting conversation, because someone else might label a different song as being mm-hmm. more vulnerable. For instance, like 1989, I can see where like a song like Clean would yeah. feel more vulnerable than
All You Had to Do Was Stay.
All You Had to Do Was Stay, right? Mm-hmm. But it really kind of has to do with, I think, what she's personally experiencing at that time. On the Reputation album, we're getting a lot of songs that are about this era, and particularly the first half of the album, the first four songs of the album are really about her saying, like, you know what? I don't care. This is, like, this is how you treated me. Let me just, like, go back against that and, like, show you how I don't care.
She's basically singing about being a badass bitch. Yes, those four, yes. First right. four
She's
songs.
She's taking back her reputation. She's uh-huh. got confidence. Those songs are filled with confidence. Yeah. But in this song, she's talking about, like, yeah, I had that confidence in the outward space, but when it comes to a relationship, I'm actually freaking out because yeah. I really like this guy, and I'm afraid he's going to know about my reputation, and I'm afraid that that's going to fall apart. It's going to fall apart because of that. It's delicate. I mean, the definition of delicate is fragile, you know, like mm-hmm. easily broken. And so I think that it's just a lovely way that she is able to introduce those feelings of vulnerability in yeah. a really beautiful song with a lot of simple words. Like, we don't get a huge a chunk of lyrics in this song. What we do get, and we'll get into that, is a lot of repetition similar to Out of the Woods, so that you can get the anxiety that comes up.
Yes. I also get the impression, you basically touched on this, that it's the early stages of a relationship, and she's sort of nervous about her reputation being perceived in a bad way to him. But even I think the song could apply, if you don't have a bad reputation, to the feelings that you have when you're falling for somebody, but you're trying to play it cool so as not to scare them away. It's almost like you want to play hard to get. That's also the energy, the spirit that I get from Delicate when she specifically sings, is it cool that I said all that? Yeah. Is it chill that you're in my head, that I'm thinking about you because I really like you, but like I gotta play it cool because I don't want to freak you off.
Freak you off is my new favorite phrase.
You're welcome.
Thank you. For
so
that.
That yes, it's, but it totally encompasses this idea of vulnerability, and I think it's important to note that. We somewhat mentioned this. The first four tracks are like loud bangers and confident. Then you get to track five, which totally shifts the rest of the album. And Reputation is known to have like two sides, and not necessarily in a chronological order. It's not like a side A and side B. There's like two different sides of Taylor that we get in the album Reputation. I think like you obviously get the badass bitch, like, you know, talking about my reputation and how I'm taking that back. That's one side of the album. And the other side is this like beautiful love story that she's telling through song about this new relationship that she has with this guy, Joe Alwyn. And this is like the first song that we get of the album that lets us know this album isn't going to be just one-sided. This has many facets. Because, and let's just transition into the musical mixology, the sound of this song is truly a delicate sound.
Yeah.
It's not like slow and piano-y, like a ballet.
Right, it's
dancer.
Not like twinkly delicate.
It's just subdued a little
yeah.
bit,
yeah.
especially compared to, again, those first four tracks. It's totally pulled back. There is great production. By the way, this is a Max Martin and Shellback song.
What?
We know that I love a Max Martin and Shellback Taylor song. So, but this one's a little different. There's not heavy production. There's not a lot of loud noises. There is a really great beat. That my favorite musical part of the song is at the start of the second verse when she sings third floor on the west side, me and you. And when she gets into handsome, you're a mansion with the view, then we get this double beat coming in. And it's a really fun way to kind of get back into the song. And maybe if you were starting to pull away from the song.
Third floor on the west side, me and you. Handsome, you're a mansion with a view. Do the girls back home touch you like I do?
It gets a little pumpier in that part.
Pumpier.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. I think that's actually what is interesting. I didn't think about that, but I think that happens a lot throughout the song of like, pull back a little bit and then I'm going to get back into it. And I noticed that as we get into the lyrics, this is inside her head. And this is another one of those songs where she's kind of going back and forth with like what's truly inside her head and what she feels safe to say. Well, and one of the most interesting instruments that we got for the first time was this instrument called the vocoder.
Mm-hmm.
Vocoder, which is like she sang, you know, a line, the same for the best, whatever, like the chorus. And then they turned the singing into chords. So, like, they used her voice as, like, it sounds like it's very electronic. Like, it just sounds really interesting.
They sing for the best. My reputation's never been worse, so you must like me for me.
Yeah. It's layered melodically. Like it sort of vocoder sort of strips apart your vocals and layers them in a melodic chord type fashion. If that makes any sense?
Yeah. And like so her voice is the instrument. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like there's multiple instruments.
Yeah.
And I think I really liked that because it really allowed us to hear her, all these layers, like it's because it's in chords, you know, you have like these multiple layers of the same person's voice. And I think it's recognizing like there's multiple layers of Taylor's thoughts right now. And we're really like focusing on what she was thinking and feeling and wanting to express instead of like being overpowered by other instruments happening.
She was quoted saying that she loved the sound of the vocoder because to her it sounded both sad and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
You could sort of view this song Delicate as a bit sad only because, I mean, you literally cried when you watched the music video. It's sort of sad because she is expressing this like this feeling that I think we can all relate to where you're nervous and you're anxious about a new relationship and you're unsure. And that can be sad, you know, just like in and of itself. But the sound of the vocoder, I guess to her, gives off that sadness, but it also is beautiful. And that's literally what the song kind of is. It's a little bit sad and beautiful.
I really love the parts where it gets super quiet on those most vulnerable parts. Because those are the parts where it like allows me to really like listen to the things that she's trying to say. And it points that this is an important thing that I'm saying right now. And it just, it matches the sound again, matches how she's feeling. I think that's really important.
Yes.
I'm excited to really get into the lyrical twist of it all, the Taylor twist of it all.
Me too. And I got to pull up lyrics, but yes.
Yeah.
I farted.
That was a fart?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh my goodness. That was so funny. I heard that.
May or may not. I cut that from the episode.
I think you should keep it.
Okay.
Was it delicate? Was that a delicate situation?
There's a delicate toot, for sure.
All right. So our song begins quietly and with that vocoder right away. This ain't for the best. My reputation's never been worse. So you must like me for me. And you already mentioned like that right away. We are getting exactly what this song is about. Mm-hmm. My reputation sucks. And this isn't how I want it to begin. And but like, it, so here's my question though with this line. So you must like me for me. Is she saying you have to like me for who I am or this isn't going to work?
No.
Or is she saying, identifying that he must like me for who I am if he already knows about this reputation?
That's interesting. I did think about that. I'm absolutely certain she's identifying that
he likes her.
That must mean he likes me for me.
He must like me for me.
Otherwise, it's like a command, and I don't think that's the energy of this song. She's not confident in the song to tell him, you need to like me for me. That's not the energy of the song. The energy of the song is uncertain, but invulnerable, you know? So, I don't, yeah, actually, but like, that's really interesting. That's
you
a
must
good
like
point.
Me for me is... Like, oh, you must like me. Then she already knows he likes her. So then, like, we're not worried. We're not anxious anymore. If he likes her, then we're fine. So that's why I think I was questioning that.
Yeah.
Because she already is kind of vulnerable. Now, maybe in her mind, she's thinking, like, it's almost like she could have said, he must like me for me, right? Like, you yeah. almost want...
Well, that's what, like, I'm assuming she's okay, trying to so convey. That's,
like, she's, like, whispering that part in her head. Like, you must like me.
Yeah, she's, like thinking she's... about this, you know? Like, my reputation is yeah. really bad right now, but he's interested in me. So, you know, which I'm assuming was a huge reason why she fell for Joe Alwyn, because they met or they started hanging out during a time when everybody else hated her, but yeah. he chose her. And that must have been really important for her to recognize... that he sees the beauty that she is and not what the media is portraying her to be.
Well, and I also think, if I'm getting my timeline correct, they met in May of 2016. Yeah. Summer of 2016 is our cruel summer, when we still don't know what that song, who that song was about. It could have been about a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
And then they, if my September 28th report is accurate, didn't, like, had their first date on that, then I'm guessing, I'm putting this event, this, like, dive bar on the east side that we're about to get into, on September 28th. Like, I'm guessing that that's when they, like, they were back and forth all summer long. So, that wasn't the summer when it really got bad? Like,
yeah.
Kanye and Kim?
Yeah, like, they had met before the incident.
So, they were kind of, like, meeting and, like, maybe flirting, maybe text flirting or whatever. Maybe they saw each other. I don't know. But, like, he's still there. Like, he's still hanging on there
mm-hmm.
at the end of the summer, at the end of September. So, and she's probably thinking, she was probably trying to push him away or whatever she was doing. He must still like her. This is her thinking, like, wait, he's still here. He must still like me for me. Wow. I told you we weren't going to have anything to talk about.
I knew it.
All right.
to complete this it's not really the verse technically.
It's the chorus. She starts the song with the chorus. Yeah.
She sings, we can't make any promises now, can we, babe? But you can make me a drink. Freaking love that.
So very much love that.
I like this because we can't make any promises now, can we, babe? That would imply that's depth. And this isn't. This relationship is fresh and new and uncertain, and we cannot go so far as to promise things to each other or even say the L word by any means, love.
We'll do that in Lover, but we're not there yet.
But we are not there. But you know what we can make? We can start off simple. Why don't you go ahead and make me a drink?
Yeah.
Because that can lead towards a blossoming thing. When you... have a drink with somebody, you kind of lower your inhibitions, you sort of put your guards down a little bit, and it's so there's not a lot of ties involved with making somebody a drink or having a drink with somebody.
It's also really intimate. It's really
totally.
It's a really sexy thing to do.
And it's not hanging out at a bar. It's in someone's house because he's making her a drink.
Yes. You know? Which that's really essential, I think. Very. As we get into our next verse. Which what we haven't actually talked about is the iconic 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch.
Oh.
That happens.
Yeah. This is iconic.
Right after this line. And it started in during the rep era, is that correct? So
well, I mean, of course it started in the
song. Duh. But I'm right. Yes, never mind. Yes. But it started at the concerts. Is that right?
It was just some like 15-year-old girl who was at the concert.
What?
And when Taylor sang this song, Delicate, she was recording it on her phone. She, the girl, the fan, out of nowhere, sang 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch. She like yelled it in the stadium that she was watching Taylor perform the song at. She then posted that video on Twitter,
yeah,
and it went viral. People loved it. So then
it's like she's not doing anything. It became that like she's not doing
exactly
anything.
Exactly.
For
and
the tour.
This was like 15 and it caught on. So then every concert from there on out, people started chanting that, and now it's become a staple
of
their
iconic
live performance of this song.
Right. Right.
Taylor loves it. She expects it. She counts along.
She did it, too. Yeah.
And yeah, that all started from a 15-year-old girl who, out of her brains, just yelled, 1, 2, 3, let's go, bitch.
I love this so much. I did not know that story. Mm-hmm. That was like such a great story.
It's fantastic. Okay. To be that young girl, that's iconic.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, so she later got invited to the secret sessions of Lover.
Oh, she did. Oh, my God.
And met Taylor, and they had a whole conversation about that situation.
Oh my God, I love that.
Okay, so all now right, we're getting into officially the first verse here.
First verse, dive bar on the east side, where you at? Our mother hates that line.
Where you at? We're supposed to say where you, we're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition. So we're supposed to say dive
where
bar
on you?
The east side.
On the east side, where are you?
Where you at, bitch? I think is the preferred.
You can't
way.
End a sentence. Yes, you can't end a sentence with a preposition, so you have to end it with something. So, bitch is an option.
Yeah, we've already mentioned it once in this song.
It's just assumed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is such a great line. Phone lights up my nightstand in the black. Okay, she could have said like, it's dark and my phone lights are like my someone texts me.
She could have.
I get a text. She could have said I got a text in
but
the middle
here's
of the night.
How she said
she did
that.
Not.
Phone lights up my nightstand in the black. It paints the picture that she's like asleep, I'm assuming. The lights are off.
Yeah.
Her phone is on her nightstand, but it lights up. It illuminates the black room.
Or like lights up also. It's just like such a like a good way of describing someone who comes alive by something or someone. And this, whatever text it was, this invitation, this little note that she was handed via texting, but or in the video with a little piece of paper, is the invitation. It's that, like,
yeah,
that's the beginning.
I guess we're assuming now, that dive bar on the east side where you at is the text message that came through to her phone. The text read, dive bar on the east side where you at? ? And then maybe her response or
yes,
maybe he says to her, come here, you can meet me in the back. Like, again, this is part of the invitation. Or maybe her response to that text is, you come here. You can meet me in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, because Taylor can't just show up at a dive bar in New York City.
Right.
That would be chaos.
I always thought that she did. I always was like, did she figure out? But this makes so much more sense, especially if you tie it back to you can make me a drink. You're right. You can't make somebody a drink in the middle of
a bar. I do think that she went to this dive bar, though, because this has become a part
of
the story.
String.
She later sings about how, you know, an invisible string, she sings, out of all the wrong hands, right into that dive bar. I think she did go to this dive bar, but maybe she met him in the back of the dive bar. Maybe there's like a secret patio.
Sure. Maybe she just like knew that she could probably like call, like her security guards could call them up and like get her in and sneak her in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to, oh damn, never seen that color blue. I'm going to take a sip at that.
Hell yeah, cheers to that.
But this is a moment, and we get this periodically, that oh damn makes you realize like, oh, we're in her head. Like, this is her. You don't imagine she's going to sing, "Damn, I've never seen that color blue." Like, right. Like, there's not, she doesn't have that confidence. Like, she's not doing that. Mm-hmm. She's thinking when she sees him. Like, this is her. This is, like, gorgeous. Like, she falls for this guy. Like, she is head over heels over this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the first time she sings about blue, talking about referencing Joe, which we later get in many other songs and many other lyrics. Right. But this is the first time she sings about blue talking about Joe.
It's also interesting that she's, and we just said this last week, which is why I chose Delicate, never seen that color blue. Mm. So the other colored blues that she's seen before are sad blues, right?
Yeah, like in Red last week.
This?
We talked about, you know, the sadness of blue, and I don't remember what the lyric was, but...
Neither do I.
Loving it, missing him was blue, like a sing like goodbye was blue, breaking up with him is blue, something like that. But yeah, she's never seen that color blue.
Never seen that color blue.
I'm assuming
blue.
She's talking about his eyes, right?
Sure, yeah. I don't think she's talking about his jeans.
I know, I thought it could be his jeans. Like, damn, where'd you buy those jeans at, bitch?
Was he wearing, like, really nerdy color blue jeans? Like, I can see that. I don't know why. I don't know why I just think, like, Joe's just, like, really not fashionable. I don't know.
Dark jeans and Nikes isn't giving couture.
I mean, it's handsome, is it?
We're not to that part yet, is
it? Okay. Just think of the fun things we could do.
Because I like you. Yeah. Mm.
This is what I want to know. And you won't be able to answer it for me, I don't think. I struggled with this in Cruel Summer because I was like if this is about Joe, like, was he playing hard to get? I still want to know who was pursuing who, right? Like, if he sent her that text, like, it almost seems like he's pursuing her, but she mm-hmm. seems the one obsessed. Like,
obsessed is a very strong word.
She seems really into him. Okay.
But very into him.
And, who was more chill? And she doesn't, what I want to know.
She doesn't want, that's the song. She's like, she is sort of kind of borderline obsessed, but she's trying to hold back because she doesn't want to come off as that.
Yeah.
So
she knows, we have had many a song previous. She knows how she has a hard time resisting when she's into somebody.
Oh, yes.
We have mentioned this pretty much almost every song. So
I think a lot of this is they are flirting. They're starting to a little bit hang out, but they've not gone too deep into it yet. So she is imagining, just think of the fun things we could do. It reminds me of Ready For It. In the middle of the night, in my dreams, you should see the things we do. Like in that song, she's also imagining all the fun things that could happen. And I think she's implying fun as in, like, going out and having a good time, but also, like, intimacy kind of fun, too. Like, you know.
Right. So I'm, like, also wondering if she's saying that to him, like, let's just have fun. Like, you can make me drink. Just think of the fun things we can do. Like, we're just keeping this fun, right? It's just fun.
Trying to be chill, you know? Trying.
Yes. And then she says, like, in such a, like, soft, almost whispering, because she's like, because I like you. And I love that because it's so sweet, so subtle, and she's just like, "I like you." Like I
yeah,
like
but
you.
she's not yelling it at the top of her lungs, right?
Right. She's not saying, "I love you." Ain't that the worst thing you ever heard?
Right.
And she's just like, "Oh, I like you." Shoot. And then we get into another chorus. Same thing. And then we get that part that you were referring to, and this is like when it gets a little bit quieter. Is it cool that I said all that? Is it chill that you're in my head? Because I know that it's delicate. And this is where we're getting so much repetitiveness happening here. Like she's
She just goes, isn't it? That's like a prominent part of the song is isn't it? That'd be a fun friendship bracelet that just says, isn't it? ? That'd be fun.
Yes.
Go back to the Eras Tour and do it all over again, I would.
We're making more bracelets for the movie, so it is not too late.
Good thinking. Yeah.
And her voice is literally delicate. Like, it's, like, really, like, soft and delicate, like, isn't it? And it just kind of like bounces around like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We got another verse coming up.
Oh, this part is good. This is when the music really like picks up a little bit, but it starts off still pretty chill and quiet. Third floor on the west side, me and you. We have geographically shifted from the east side.
We went from the dive bar back to her place, and we're on Cornelia Street right here.
We're on Cornelia Street. Mm-hmm. We know Cornelia Street. We know False God. She's the West Village, and that's where she lives. Third floor on the west side, me and you. And the beat really kicks in there. Love that part. Handsome, you're a mansion with a view. I guess she's like describing him as like a beautiful piece of architecture.
Which is amazing because later it's like such a credible contrast to bejeweled basement, like wine. Ooh. So like she's describing him as the penthouse, like the full mansion.
Mm-hmm.
We also get a lot of like he, remember we talked about in like home, he is home to her.
Right,
like,
yes.
And so to use that like metaphor again, like describing that home as a mansion. I mean, we got MASH. She's playing MASH, and she got Joe in a mansion.
Zero kids. And she's a pop star, and he's an actor. She played the game.
She really did.
And, okay, do the girls back home touch you like I do? Whoa, Taylor Swift.
She went there. Slow
down. She definitely went there. And this line is interesting because it's truly a question. And you can think about this as, like, is she actually asking him this question? Like, is she his? Or does he have other girls? Or is this just like where you're from? Do they do it like I do it? You know, back home where you're from? Like, it's a really interesting line. You could interpret it in several ways. This is all just in her head, asking herself, wondering if the girls back home touch him like she does. Or I wonder if she's genuinely just curious. Like, are you seeing anybody else? You know?
Okay, I thought you were like, I'm curious, like, what are their favorite positions?
No. Okay. I just think it shows her insecurity a lot in this line.
So I think it's like she's trying to mask her insecurity that we're going to get even more later when she's like, stay here, I don't want to share you with anybody. Yeah. We also get it in Lover when she's like,
I'm highly suspicious that everyone who sees you wants you.
Wants you. She thinks that, right? So that's her insecurity, but she's like masking it with a flirtation. Like, oh, do those other girls do this? And like you know.
Yeah.
But the true insecurity is behind there. Long night with her hands up in my hair. We get that a lot. Taylor and hair and whatever. Like, that's a thing for her.
Well, she does this thing where she's like, she conveys the idea of intimacy without being obvious about it. Yes. Like, she's very delicate about how she describes sexual interactions with her partners.
I mean, if she's saying like we were banging, like it just takes away.
I think about like Ariana Grande or Nicki Minaj or Cardi B. They just like are blatant about talking about their sex, right?
And
Taylor does it in such a like romantic, poetic way.
Yes,
where you know what she's talking about without being super obvious about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's family friendly, right?
Family friendly.
I want to talk about your
footsteps.
I want to talk about that line.
Okay.
Echoes of your footsteps on the stairs. What does that mean, echoes of your footsteps on the stairs?
I think like even when he's gone, like even when he has to like go away, whatever, like she still remembers, like he's made an impact in her home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she's like, stay here, honey, I don't want to share, like I don't want you to go, I don't want to share your time, I don't want to share your, like I don't want to share you like with the world, like I just want this beautiful like safe place inside our home. We talked about that in like King of My Heart, right? Like there was like staying in the castle. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah. We get another chorus, and then we get a bridge. And it's like, it's got this like beat, which has an incredible video of her when she's creating this.
Yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Like a making of this part, because she's trying to like, and she says later on at the end, as she's like trying to develop what the words are, she's like, yeah, just keep it simple. Like that's what it was.
Right.
This is a really like anxious point. This is an anxious moment. Like, and it's giving, are you ready for it? Very much so. Like you were saying, like what she dreams about.
Yeah.
And she wants to know, is he dreaming of her too?
Just more questions, right?
Yeah. Like,
she's still curious, wondering, unsure, uncertain, insecure about this whole thing. She's like asking these questions in her mind. I wonder, like, do you ever dream of me the way I dream of you? And that's
the line of delicate, like the delicate line of a relationship, right? They're not. She has a lot of questions, and she's not yet comfortable asking all of them. But she's asking them in her head. Sometimes when I look into your eyes, I pretend you're mine all the damn time.
Cause I like you.
Yes. This is what gave me like Cruel Summer when I was like, you know, I think she wanted him and he wasn't serious yet. Like, I don't know. Those were all my curiosities about that.
I'm curious if this was like an intention when she sings, sometimes when I look into your eyes, I pretend you're mine all the time.
So, right? It's like
all the time. They kind
of 60% of the time, it works every time.
Thought that exact same thing.
But I think that's the point. Like, it's like, I don't want it just to be this delicate, like, balance of, like, are you into me? Or we sort of see each other, we're sort of not. She's like, no, I want to pretend that you're mine all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, you are mine now solidly, and we are, like, all the way in. We're going steady.
Yeah, but then the song ends with, oh, yeah, but it is still delicate.
It's still delicate. Can't
quite go there. One thing to mention about this being a track five, this is the first track five we get that's about the... It's sort of like a positive message,
right?
Where the other track fives are like a breakup, or she's like feeling down, or she's upset. And this, you know, is sort of like an exciting vulnerability rather than like a sad vulnerability that we've gotten in most of the other track fives. Like even after Reputation, the Archer is sad. Tolerate It, My Tears Ricochet is sad. The only one that sort of compares would be You're On Your Own, Kid, where that's not about a romantic relationship. That is just about her, and it ends positively. So this as a track five definitely stands out amongst the others, because it is about sort of being excited about a relationship but acknowledging the vulnerability about that.
Yep.
That's our song.
That's our song.
Isn't it?
Isn't it?
It is.
Isn't it? Well, Sam, this ain't for the best, but I think our reputation is going to get worse if we go any further. So it's time to bring this podcast to a close. But first, is it cool if I ask you to tell me what song are we breaking down next week?
It is cool that you said all that.
Excellent.
Okay, so I struggled to know where to go from Delicate. The song I've chosen for next week, I took inspiration from my experience last night playing this vault situation game.
Okay. Perfect.
It is not a 1989 track.
Okay.
It sort of had something to do with the game, because there was an issue at the beginning of the game where it didn't fully load for people. It was almost like it glitched out.
I think it's been a glitch.
So I thought, wouldn't it be fun if we do our first Midnight's bonus track?
This is like not just a Midnight track, it's a bonus track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, would we call Hits Different a bonus track? I think we should.
Oh, that's true. We kind of did. True. Yeah. Okay, so maybe isn't the first, but I view people don't talk about Glitch enough.
No, I agree. I need to know more about what's happening. I'm obsessed with this song. Like, I all the time love to sing. Like, sometimes, all the time, I love to sing. I think it's been a glitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah. This is going to be great.
All right, Swiggies. We know it's delicate, but we hope you like us for us. And if you do, can you please come and find us over on social media? That would be at Swift and Swigs Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. We've got some catching up to do. I've sort of dropped the ball lately, posting some of our content and cocktails, so we're going to get better at that. Also, we are taking volunteer unpaid internships. If you want to...
Stop it. Stop
it.
If you
want to write our show notes for us, we
you're firing me.
You fired yourself, essentially, by not...
I did.
By not writing.
My performance review is not great.
Okay, so reach out to us. I've never mentioned this, but we do have an email account. That would be swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com. So send us an email if you, I don't know, want to talk to us, want to leave us a message, want to be our unpaid intern. That'd be fantastic. And then be sure to subscribe to our channel, to our podcast on Spotify. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us lots of internet love. We love you back, just so you know. It's delicate.
We like it? You. Because we like you.
Because we like you. And we want you. Okay, that's enough.
It's getting weird. Remember, Swiggies, we can't make any promises to you. But we can make you a drink. So, see you next time.
Cheers.
Cheers, Sam.